For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December the 27th, 1993. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas is the speaker of the afternoon. Dr. Null is a baby man in the natural and in the spiritual. He helps take care of babies too. And the Lord has blessed us with blessing him to come and look after, take care of our morning prayer meetings here in the mornings, and then to help with the men's and the deliverance sessions from wherever he's needed. He's always ready. And we bless him and we appreciate the ministry that the Lord has given to Dr. Noe. Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Just come, Lord Jesus. Lord, open our minds that we might receive this teaching, Lord, that you have for us tonight, Lord, this day, Lord Jesus. Touch us, Lord, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, and set us free, Lord, that we might serve you. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some years ago, God called me as an intercessor. And I really wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. I just knew that I was called as an intercessor. And I started making a study of intercession. And when Glenn asked me to take the service, I went up and I asked the Lord what he wanted me to talk about. And he said he wanted me to talk about intercession. And so, in the Bible, there are a number of types, and there are a number of people who served as types of intercessors. And the first one I want to look at is Abraham. And let's look at Genesis 18, 16 to 30. You're all familiar with this story. This was the Genesis 16. It says, "And when the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them and sent them on the way, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." And then he goes on and says, because of the great cry that's come up from the sin in Sodom, he's going to destroy it. And Abraham is touched that all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And so he begins to bargain with God for these souls. And he says in verse 23, "Abraham came near and said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous in the city. Would you destroy all the place and spare it not for the 50 righteous? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should not be as the wicked. Far be it from you, so the judge of all the earth do right." And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I shall spare it." And then Abraham showed his position. He says, then Abraham answered and said, "Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50. Would you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And you know the story. He continued to bargain God downward until God finally said if there were 10 righteous people, he would destroy the city. And he would not destroy the city. He would, thank you. If there were 10 righteous, but he did not find 10 righteous, and you know that he destroyed the city. Let's look at Moses now. Let's look at Exodus 32. But you notice Abraham was asking for something for someone else. He was not asking for himself. If we look at Exodus 32, verse 7, Now, Moses has been on the mountain for 40 days, receiving the tablets of the law and the instructions for the tabernacle from God. In verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, get down, for the people you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly from the way I have commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf, worshipped it, and sacrificed to it. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. Indeed, they are stiff-necked people. Therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. In short, God was telling Moses he was going to destroy all of the Hebrew people and start over with him. And what did Moses say? Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, God, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, to kill them on the mountain, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and all this land I have spoken, I will give it to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said to do his people. And if you will go on through the book of Exodus, you will find there were, in Numbers, there were two other times that the Lord was going to destroy all the people. But Moses interceded. And once he said, Lord, if you're going to destroy them, just blot me out of the book of life too. And Moses stood to gain to be a patriarch like Abraham, with God starting over with him. Instead, he interceded. He laid down himself. He laid down his soul. He said, Lord, if you're going to kill all them, just get me too. And God relented. Now let's look at 1 John 2:1. In him, in the New Testament, John says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And Jesus is our lawyer, our intercessor, who stands constantly at the side of God. Let's look at Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Starting with verse 22, and so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. There were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. So here we have Jesus Christ, ever living to make intercession for you. Now let's look back in the Old Testament at Isaiah 53, which I probably should have covered before I covered Hebrews, but looking at Isaiah 53, starting in the middle of verse 11, by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now let's look at Isaiah 59. And I looked at this as a little different interpretation in the way I have always read it. Verse 16, and he said, he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his hands, and put the garments of vengeance for clothes, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Jesus, because he could find no intercessor in Israel, became the intercessor. And he became our intercessor for spiritual Israel, for all of you who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is your intercessor, and he stands always before the throne, ever making intercession for you. Now, the secret in intercession is to pray the same thing that Jesus Christ prays. If you can pray what Jesus is praying, you'll have what you ask for because you're praying according to the will of God. It says, if we pray according to the will of God, we'll know we have what we ask for. And so I came to realize that an intercessor was a person upon whom God laid burdens for others, and one who was willing to get up in the middle of the night and pour out his soul before God for someone he'd never seen, quite often for someone he didn't know. All he knew was that God had given him a burden, and he stood. Sometimes he'd give you a name, and sometimes he wouldn't. He gave me a great burden for Russia 7 years ago. Well, it's been 10 years ago now. 10 years ago, I got a great burden for Russia, and I began to pray, just praying for Russia, praying that the Iron Curtain would come down and the wall would come down. And I met Brother Andrew, and I found that he was forming a group called the Jericho Force, in which we entered into an agreement to pray for Russia for 7 years. And about 3 years into this commitment, we began to pray for prisoners, and we began to get vita sheets of different prisoners. There were 1,500 people in this group. And we had about 2,000 prisoners that we knew of by name to pray for. And my first prisoner was a man named Alexander, the name about this long, Alexander. He was a Roman Catholic priest. And he was in an insane asylum in Siberia because he dared to teach children about Jesus Christ in the church, which was against the law. So they declared him schizophrenic, and they put him in an insane asylum. And they told him that he was criminally insane, and they would never turn him loose. He only had one relative, an old mother, who lived 2,000 miles away, and since only relatives could visit in the insane asylum, he never had any visitors. And so I got my vita sheet, and I ran it through my Zexrock machine, and I put it on my refrigerator door, and I put it in my wall of my desk, and I put it in my bedroom, and I put it every place else I could think about it. And I pestered God to death about that man, and I wept before God. 8 months later, I got a letter saying he was back in his church. They turned him loose. God had moved. And so I wrote him and told him that I could pray for two people. Send me two. After that, I prayed for about 20 people. The longest I ever prayed for anyone after that was 6 months, and the shortest period of time was 3 months. And about 4 years ago, we ran out of prisoners. There weren't any more prisoners in the Gushlak, not Christian prisoners that we knew about. And then 3 years ago, 7 years after we started praying, the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall, came down. Now, people didn't understand why the Berlin Wall came down. I knew why it came down. The power of God pulled it down. I remember one day I was praying in the Spirit in the church, and I had a prisoner that I had picked up out of a man I didn't know, and I had picked up his name out of a publication. But he had written it was sad. He was a Christian leader, and he had tried to commit suicide because they had him in isolation in a punishment cell. And I was praying for him, and it was in the middle of the winter time. And I was swept away, and I found myself standing outside, knee deep in soap and snow, a snowy plain. And there was a barbed wire fence there, and the wind was howling, and I was cold because I had on a shirt, and I thought I had on a thin shirt and this. And I can remember how terribly cold I was. And I passed through the fence and into the building. And I walked down the hall. And there was an open door at the end. And in that door, there was a room that was about 5 feet by 5 feet with a stool in the middle and a hole in one corner, which is an oriental toilet. And there was a man standing there in a thin nightshirt. And it was cold in this building. And all he had on was a thin cotton nightshirt. And he turned and he looked at me. And then I was back in the church at home. I have no idea whether this was a vision or what. It was very real to me. 3 years later, 2 years later, I got a letter. An open letter. It wasn't addressed to me. It was addressed to all the intercessors that had been praying for this man. It was his picture. And there was the picture of this man that I had seen in this cell that I had been praying for 3 years. I'd never seen his picture, but there he was. And I can still see those eyes staring at me. And his description of how he said he knew when the intercessors were praying for him because the room would warm up. He could feel the warmth of our prayers in the endless hours that they would sit him there and they would alternate. He never knew whether it was day or night. Had a light bulb up there that burned all the time, and the room was so short he couldn't lay down without, he couldn't straighten out. And he was stuck on the concrete, on the floor. In the wintertime, the oriental hole would flood, and he had to get up on his stool to get away from the sewage. And he would sit in there, sometimes they'd feed him in 2 hours, and sometimes they'd feed him in 14 hours. They alternated the schedule, so he never knew whether it was day or night. But God sustained him as we prayed for him. He said, God sustained him. He warmed him. I became to understand that prayer was real, that God is real, and intercession is real. And God moves through the prayers of his saints. It was about that time that I'd had one of my hard days at the office. I'd been on call that night, I'd been up all night, and all the next day, and I'd come home and I'd been working for 36 hours. And I used to could do that without breaking my stride, but now I get tired from the 36 hours, and I ache. And I came home and I lay down in my bed to go to sleep. And God spoke to me. He said, get up, I want to talk to you. And it came up in my spirit. It wasn't an audible voice. I said, I'm tired, Lord. I hurt. Can't we do it tomorrow? And I turned over. And my bed shook. I got out of bed. I got out of bed and I went into my bathroom and I stood in my shower and I sat there to turn the cold water on till my teeth chattered, and I dried myself off and wrapped a cold towel around my head and put on my bathrobe, and I went into my study desk and I sat down and I said, all right, Lord, I'm him. And he didn't say anything. And I sat there, and so I got my Bible out and I began to read, and I was moved in my spirit to read about the tabernacle. And the next thing that I remembered was that I had written two yellow pads on the tabernacle, and it was daylight outside. It was time to go to work again. I wasn't tired. I got up and shaved and went to work. And what I wanted to share with you a little bit was about what God showed me about the tabernacle as it relates to intercessors. Now, the tabernacle was a type and a shadow and relates to lots of things. But God showed it to me from the standpoint of intercession and how it applies to the believer today. And that's a little bit of what I wanted to share with you today. Unfortunately, I don't have all those fine notes or in Salina. God didn't tell me to bring them. So I made sort of a schematic drawing here. For those of you who need a little refreshment in your memory, this is north and this is east. You remember that the tabernacle was just a tent, and it was surrounded by a fence, and the fence was 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. And the tabernacle was 30 by 15 cubits, and the fence is 100 by 50 cubits. The fence was about 7 feet tall and was surrounded by linen. which meant that when you were on the outside, you couldn't see what was going on in the inside. And it's the righteous, the linen that represents the righteous acts of the saints. You know, people, when you belong to Jesus Christ, people can see a difference in you. They can see that you're different. If they can't see that you're different, you should wonder why. Because it's the righteous acts of the saints that separate you from the world. And there's only one way in. This little hole here that's about 20 cubits wide, that has a veil on it that is symbolic of Jesus Christ. And you come in. And you come in to the outer court. The blazing altar is Him. The laver is Him. And the tabernacle is Him. When you come in to the tabernacle, they had all the praises that stood around here to praise. And this is in the outer court. And it is perceived by the senses. And that's as far as 90% of the Christians ever get. They come into the outer court. And they come in and they have a praise service. And they get the holy goosebumps. And they say, oh, boy, we had such a wonderful service. Oh, the Spirit just moved. And everything was so beautiful. And then they go home. But they never perceive anything spiritually. Except that they got a few goosebumps and their hair stood on end. And they knew something was there. But to get into this, the first thing you see is this blazing altar. Well, I was raised in the Episcopal Church. And we had, blazing means brass. We had a lot of brass in our church. We had a brass cross on a stick that we walked behind and that we led the procession in when I was an acolyte. And we had brass candle holders and we had a brass crucifix up on the altar. We had these big brass arms basins and we polished all this brass and it was very pretty. It was very beautiful. And I always thought of the brazen altar as being polished brass and being attractive. God showed me what it looked like. It was big. It was 3 cubits high and 5 cubits square. It was covered with brass, had 4 horns on the end. There was a fire in it that burned all the time. It was hot. It was covered with blood. I mean, they'd thrown blood. They'd put blood on the horns. They'd thrown blood up the side. There was a river of blood flowing away from it where they'd poured all this blood of the sacrifices. And it stunk, people. It stunk of burning flesh. They burned meat on it. And it stunk of burning flesh. It was a thing of death. The brazen altar is a thing of death. It represents the cross. So to get into the... That's the first thing you see when you walk in. You see the death. And that represents death. So to get into the tabernacle, you got to go past the brazen altar. You got to lay down your life. You got to die to self. Paul says he wants you to be a living sacrifice. Be ye transformed. That word transformed comes from the Greek metamorphosis, which means the changing of the caterpillar into the butterfly. He says a change. How are you going to be changed? By the renewing of your mind. Then you can discern what the good, perfect will of God is. And so you go by this and you lay down your life, all your ambitions, all your jealousies, all your desires, all your covetousness, all your self-will, you lay it on the altar and let it burn up. And once you pass this altar, you come to the laver. The laver was made from the hand mirrors of the lady's hand mirrors. It was polished brass, it was full of water, and it represents the Word of God. It represents this. It says you got to wash in it. You got to wash in the laver. You look down in it, and what do you see? You see yourself. It's like a mirror. You see your sin, people. You see yourself in your sin. And you wash in the Word. Now, what the Bible says, that if you don't wash in the laver before you go into the tabernacle,
you'll die. Means you'll be spiritually dead. You know, the Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about physical death. Do you know that? First death is to be separated from God. The second death is to be thrown into the flaming pit that burns forever and ever. It does speak some of physical death, but the two great deaths are spiritual deaths. And you will die spiritually. You don't wash in the water of the Word and ask God to show you your sin in this Word and wash in it, you'll die spiritually. You won't see God. But once you come by the laver, you come in. Now, there's a candlestick here on the south side that reflects light out. And that is the only light. Everything in the tabernacle is spiritually discerned by the light of the Holy Spirit. It's not your usual senses. It is your spiritual senses that will show you. Here, it's a table of showbread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that represents Jesus Christ. And here's the altar of incense. And the incense are a type of the prayers of the saints. So when you get here, you're ready to intercede. Now there's incense, special incense. God provides the incense. He's got a special formula for manufacturing it. And it's the only incense that can be used. You can't bring your own incense. You know what you got to bring, though? You got to bring fire from out here. And every time you come, you got to come by that altar and pick up some fire. Pick up some coals in your censer. And then you take the incense and you put it in the censer and you swing it back and forth. And then your prayers will rise like sweet incense before God. Now, once a year, on the Day of Atonement. Oh, Jesus, I got all these scriptures here, and I haven't quoted one of them yet. I'm just talking. I hope y'all will forgive me. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest, who is a type of Jesus Christ, entered him. He went in before the Ark of the Covenant. Before the high priest could go in on the Day of Atonement, he first had to offer a bull for his own sin. Burned a bull for his sin and took it in. He took the blood from the bull. A big sacrifice. A bull. An animal. Huge. Expensive animal. For his sin. For the sin of the intercessor. And he went in, got his coals from this altar, got his incense here, went in to, and then he spread the incense over the mercy seat. And then he sprinkled the blood of the bull for his sin. Once he had been purified of his sin, then he could go back out and take the goat for the people's sin. Now, there were two goats. One was the Lord's goat and one was the scapegoat. The Lord's goat was sacrificed. His blood was carried in for the sins of the people. The scapegoat was then the high priest would come out and confess over the head of the scapegoat all the sins of the people. And then that goat was taken and led by a man out into the wilderness and turned loose. Someone who bears your sin. It's called the scapegoat. When you try to put it off on somebody else, you're making a scapegoat out of them. That's where the word came from. Jesus Christ was your scapegoat. He bore your sins and he carried them off. He fulfilled that type. I want you to see that in intercession, for the spirit of the intercessor, that you have to die to self, that you've got to lay down your life for those that you're praying for. Now let's all turn our Bibles to James. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy or selfish ambition or self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly,
sensual or soulish, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Now this is the wisdom, this is the motivation of the intercessor. No envy, no jealousy, no self-seeking. Let's look at Ephesians 4:17. And let Scripture enlarge on that a little bit. We'll start with 4:17. This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned from Christ. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, you should put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so here we have a description of those people, of those things that you're supposed to let go. And you'll notice it says the deceitful lust grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now let's look over in Ephesians 5:5. For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Intercessors die to self. They don't pray for Cadillac on the hill, for a big Cadillac. They don't pray for a big house so they can show everybody how gracious God is to them. They don't pray for a big job that's going to give them a lot of money so they can make a big tithe to the church. They don't pray to win the lottery so they can tithe on it and have 90% to spend like they want to, that they will get for nothing. Intercessors lay down their soul. They pour out their soul unto death. They lay down all envy, all self-pity, all jealousy. And they say, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me pray for, Lord? And he will give you prayers. Lots of times you pray a lot in spirit when you intercede. But sometimes you'll pray in the understanding, and sometimes you don't know who you're praying for. I remember once some years ago, I was praying for a... God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I got up and I was just praying. And I prayed for an hour and a half, and it was... And I got through praying about 5 o'clock. Well, we were going to start intercessory prayer at 6, and I'd been down here since 3:30 praying. And I said, Lord, I want you to tell me what I prayed for, whether this is just me or whether you really had me come down here to pray for something. And later that afternoon, a lady got up and said, I want to tell about a miracle that happened this morning. She said, we have all these horses that we take care of, and somebody came in and cut the lock off the gate and turned them all loose. And we have 25 racehorses, and they were all running down the road. And said, they're very valuable. And we were trying to saddle horses to go catch them and bring them back. And while we were running around, said, suddenly the horses started coming back in like something was driving them, and they drove them into the stalls. I said, oh, really? I said, what time did the last horse come in? She said, 5 o'clock. I said, oh, thank you, ma'am. Thank you. The last horse came in at 5 o'clock. And I got out and I thanked God. God had told me
what I've been praying for. God will answer the prayers of intercessors. He will take care of his intercessors. He will meet your needs, not your wants. He'll meet your needs. You still need to confess your sin. Oh, Lord, you need to cleanse yourself and read the Word and cleanse yourself. For if you say you do not sin, 1 John says, that's James, isn't it? 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so you need to pray and constantly ask God to cleanse you of your sin and to cleanse you of unrighteousness and cleanse you of idolatry and self-seeking. And to fill you with love and compassion for your brother. And fill you with the love that you need to pour your soul out for others. And as you do this, God will bless you. He'll bless your family. He'll bless your business. I can tell you that he will bless you. And he will smooth out the path for you, that things will move according to his will. And so that's today. I wanted to bring you this small teaching on intercession, and it's how God has shown it to me. And I wanted to have some deliverance for self-seeking, for pride, for arrogance, for pride, for jealousy, for covetousness, for the sins of the flesh. Let's everybody stand up. It is said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure, and everybody's been sitting for about an hour and 15 minutes now. let's praise God a little bit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. And we bless you and we glorify you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Okay. How many of you have never been in a mass deliverance service before? Everyone has been in one. Okay, y'all can sit down. Demons, evil spirits, the word Hebrew spirit means breath. And the word for it in Greek is pneumo, which means air, like a pneumatic tire, or like pneumonia. It's pneumo, it means air. And they generally come out of the breathing passages. Sometimes they come out of your ears, sometimes your eyes, sometimes they rise like smoke out of your head. They come out frequently with a cough. To cast out, Irma looked up cast out, and she said it means to give a quick jerk or vomit, according to Webster's Dictionary. But spirits come out as a cough, as a sigh, as a yawn, sometimes as a scream. I asked you to let them go. If you're worried about your dignity, you can get your dignity back. You've got to choose between your dignity or the demons. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. I'm going to lead you through a deliverance prayer, a confession. And you know, if you've been involved in witchcraft, if you've been involved in the occult, or if you have unforgiveness in your heart, all these things will bind deliverance. And so I'm going to lead you through a short confession for deliverance. I have several, and some of them are real long and some of them not. This one is sort of a short one. Say, Dear Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins.
Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins.
For your glorious resurrection.
For your glorious resurrection.
And making me a new creature in Christ.
And making me a new creature in Christ.
By faith in your precious blood.
By faith in your precious blood.
Dear Lord,
I have a confession to make.
I've sought supernatural experience apart from you. I've disobeyed your word. I want you to help me renounce all these things
and
cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit.
In Jesus'
name.
I renounce
witchcraft. Magic, both black and white. I renounce the Ouija board. And all occult games. I renounce all seances. Clairvoyance and mediums. ESP and second sight. Mind reading. I renounce all fortune telling. Palm laying. Tea leaf reading. Crystal balls. Tarot cards. And other card laying. I renounce all astrology and interest in the horoscopes. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation. Renounce all hypnosis. I break any curse placed on me from any occult source in Jesus' name. I renounce all curiosity about either the future or the past, which is outside your will. I renounce water witching, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, automatic writing, astral projection, and other demonic skills. I renounce all literature I've ever read on any of these fields. And the vow I will destroy such books in my possession. I now break in the name of Jesus Christ all psychic heredity, any demonic hold on my family line as a result of disobedience of any of my ancestors. I also break any bonds of physical or mental illness in Jesus' name. I also break all demonic subjugation to my mother and father, grandparents, or any other living human being. In the name of Jesus, I renounce everything psychic or occultic. I break all demonic subjugation to any human being who's ever dominated me outside of the will of God, either living or dead. I break it and release them to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I renounce every cult that denies the blood of Jesus. I renounce every philosophy that denies the divinity of Christ. I call upon you, Lord, to set me free. Lord, I have another confession to make. I've not loved, but I've resented certain people. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. You know, we're going to pause a couple of minutes, and I want you to forgive anyone who's ever hurt you. Anyone who's ever hurt you, I want you to forgive them. I want you to say their name quietly under your breath. But you need to forgive anyone that the Holy Spirit brings to mind that's ever hurt you. You need to forgive them. Say, I forgive John. I forgive Joe. But forgiveness is an act of the will. It's something you need to do. You need to forgive your mates if they've hurt you. You need to forgive people, your parents, teachers, anyone that's ever hurt you that you can think of or that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. You need to forgive them. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, I do now forgive myself. It's important that you forgive yourself, people. Some people go through their whole lives angry and mad and unable to forgive themselves, saying if only. And they live a life of saying if only, if only, if only. If only I hadn't. I renounce every spirit that binds or torments me. And I call upon the Lord to set me free. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to call upon some spirits. And each one of them, I want you to agree with me and command it to leave. Set your will against it. Make it leave. We're going to bind it. We're coming from the power of the third heaven. Now I speak to you. I want everybody to put both feet on the floor, please. Now, demons, I speak to you. I come to you from the power of the third heaven, high above all power and principality and every name that's named in this world and the world to come. I come to you high above you, and I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind each and every one of you. I command you now to set God's people free. Turn them loose now. I bind all spirits of rejection. I bind all the spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends, rejection by mate. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, rejection. Turn God's people loose now. Turn them loose now. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The mortgage has been paid in full. Their ransom has been paid. I bind all rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All rejection. All rejection by mates. All rejection by friends. All rejection by peers. In the name of Jesus. All rejection by co-workers, by family. In the name of Jesus. I bind all rejection in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. I come against fear. I come against all fear. For fear has torment. I bind the spirit of fear that would torment. Fear of rejection. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus. I command fear to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. All fear come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to leave now. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. All witchcraft fear. Fear of witchcraft. Fear of being alone. Fear of the dark. Fear of not being loved. Fear of sex. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus. Fear of men. Fear of women, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus. I say, be gone out of God's people in the name of Jesus. All fear, for fear has torment. The perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ does bind all fear, does drive out all fear in the name of Jesus. All fear be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind the lust now. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I bind all fear, all lust now. I bind the lust for things, the lust for power, the lust for position in the name of Jesus. I bind all witchcraft, the desire to control other people, the desire to control other people. I bind witchcraft now, the desire to control other people and other things in the name of Jesus Christ. I command them to be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, witchcraft, in the name of Jesus. I bind all rebellion, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I bind all rebellion in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft to control one's mate in the name of Jesus Christ. To manipulate one's mate in the name of Jesus Christ. To manipulate one's children in the name of Jesus. I bind all witchcraft spirits, all rebellious spirits in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. All rebellion in the name of Jesus. I bind all covetousness now. I bind all idolatry in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of idolatry. The spirit of whoredom. I break the curse of idolatry and whoredom over these people in the name of Jesus. For the acts of their ancestors, I break the acts of their ancestors, the curse from the acts of the ancestors. And I bind the spirit of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ, the spirit of idolatry, the spirit of covetousness, the spirit of perverseness in the name of Jesus. All perverse spirits, all spirits of perverseness in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Go
in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellious, perverse spirits, all spirits of perversion in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. All spirits of perversion. Come on out, spirits of perversion now. All oral genital sex spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All peeping Tom spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave now. All perverse spirits, all spirits of perversion, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break the curse over these children in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Just turn them loose now. Turn them loose. Don't you tear them. You come out of them in the name of Jesus. All of you. All spirits of perverseness in the name of Jesus have come down through the family line in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All spirits of the whore in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of fornication. All spirits of the whore in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of seduction in the name of Jesus Christ. All you seducing spirits in the name of Jesus Christ that would seduce God's people in the name of Jesus, would seduce them away from the will of God by the deceitful lust of the flesh in the name of Jesus, the lust for things, the lust for power, the lust for position. All you deceitful lust in the name of Jesus, I bind you. All you covetous spirits, spirits of covetousness, of wanting, of envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus. All jealous spirits, all spirits of anger and rage and jealousy. All spirits of anger and rage and jealousy in the name of Jesus. All jealous spirits, all violent spirits, all spirits of violence and anger and rage in the name of Jesus. I just bind you now. Lord Jesus, I stand here in the name of Jesus Christ. For by the blood of Jesus Christ, these people have been set free. By the blood of Jesus, they have been cried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven. Romans 5:9 says, much more now they shall be justified by His blood and saved from the wrath to come. They've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:12 says that Jesus suffered without the gate that He might sanctify the people. With His blood. They've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. All deceitful of the lust of the flesh now. I come against the spirits now of bondage. I come against the spirit of bondage. Bondage to fear. Bondage to witchcraft. Bondage to lust. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to marijuana. Bondage to nicotine. Bondage. Bondage to food. Bondage to eating. Bondage to fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind all spirits of bondage. I break the curse of bondage in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. I just break the curse now. In the name of Jesus, all bondage spirits, all spirits of bondage in the name of Jesus, I just bind you and command you to leave. I bind you. I come against you from the power of the third heaven. All bondage spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of paranoia now. I come against the spirits of schizophrenia and paranoia in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of paranoia, I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave God's people. All spirits of paranoia, of suspicion, of jealousy, of anger and rage in the name of Jesus. All violent spirits now. All unteachable spirits. All spirits of stubbornness, stubborn self-will, stubborn spirits, unteachable spirits. I come against the spirit of unteachableness, of stubbornness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of unteachableness and of stubbornness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of self-indulgence in the name of Jesus, of self-indulgence, of envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of mistrust, of distrust of a loved one in the name of Jesus. I bind the condemning spirit, the spirit of condemnation in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of condemnation, of self-condemnation, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of condemnation. I bind the spirits of hurt. Of deep hurt now. Deep hurt. Lord Jesus, just reach down and touch them now, Lord. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. I bind the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. The deep hurt, the bitterness that comes in the name of Jesus. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. As Moses put the log at the pool of Marah and made it sweet. I come against the spirit of bitterness now in the name of Jesus Christ. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. Touch the bitter pool now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch the pool of bitterness, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that will defile these people in the name of Jesus. We just thank and we praise you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Surely, Lord, you've borne our infirmities and our sorrows and our sickness and our pain. And by your stripes we've been healed. I bind all infirmity spirits now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of infirmity of the brain in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of infirmity of the brain. I break the curse in the name of Jesus Christ. And I come against the spirits of infirmity of the brain. All encephalitis in the name of Jesus Christ. All infirmity, all brain tumors in the name of Jesus. All affliction of the brain in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of the affliction of the brain in the name of Jesus. I bind the loss of memory in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all memory loss, all amnesia in the name of Jesus. I command it to go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing and restitution to the memory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against all spirits that would interfere with dyslexia. All dyslexia spirits. All learning disability spirits. All spirits of learning disability and dyslexia in the name of Jesus Christ. It would stop people from being able to read and to learn. I bind it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just bind you in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution to you in the name of Jesus. I come against all spirits that would affect the eye, all deaf spirits, all vision spirits, all cataracts in the name of Jesus, all glaucoma. Come against all sinus problems. Sinus problems, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. I curse you to your roots and I command you to leave now. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All congestion, all bronchitis in the name of Jesus Christ. All bronchitis, all pneumonia, all bronchitis, all asthma. I command all allergies to leave now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I come against the spirits. I come against now the ulcers that have been caused by being pierced by a curse. All piercing, I pull out all, and in the Spirit, Lord, I pull out all the curses that have pierced these people, Lord. The things that have pierced their stomach, pierced their intestines, pierced their wounds, in the name of Jesus. Pierced their bladders, in the name of Jesus. I come against all the curses now. Now pull out the curses, all curses in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all stomach ulcers now in the name of Jesus. All gastritis and duodenitis and colitis and Crohn's disease in the name of Jesus. I bind all diseases of the kidney, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come against all prostatism in the name of Jesus. Come against all chlamydial infections in the name of Jesus. All herpes. I bind the spirit of herpes. I bind that virus in the name of Jesus. I break his authority and command him to leave in the name of Jesus. I break his authority in the name of Jesus Christ and command him to leave now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against all dyspareunia in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the spirit of dyspareunia in the name of Jesus and frigidity in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its hold. I come against all dysmenorrhea in the name of Jesus and PMS. I break its hold on these people of God in the name of Jesus. Just thank and praise you for it, Lord. Lord, I just come against the power of arthritis and diabetes now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to touch. Lord, I bind the spirit of arthritis of the hands and the back and the neck. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of arthritis and command it to leave. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. I just bind it and command it to be gone now. In the name of Jesus. All arthritis. in the name of Jesus. All diabetes, just be gone in the name of Jesus. Praise you and bless you. Lord, I just hold up the people that have diabetes to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I stand here now, Lord. I stand here as an intercession for them, Lord, and I ask restoration for them. Restoration to their nerves and to their kidneys, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Just touch them, Lord God. Touch them, Lord. Restore what the caterpillar, the cankerworm, and the palmer worm. Restore their vision, Lord. Restore their hearing, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We just bind this cruel taskmaster, diabetes, in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all brain tumors now, all cancer. Cancer of the womb, in the name of Jesus. I come against the human papillomavirus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against all AIDS. I come against the HIV infection in the name of Jesus. Lord, just touch God's people now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We just praise you and bless you and we glorify you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Now, Lord, I release on these people, Lord, the spirit of intercession, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to touch them. Every one of them here, Lord. Just touch them with the spirit of intercession, Lord Jesus. Cleanse them now, Lord. Cleanse them, Lord. Cleanse them from self-seeking. Cleanse them from envy and self-seeking, Lord, and every evil thing. Confusion. I speak to confusion now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus. Just praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I come against all heritage now. I come against all evil heritage that's come down through the family line. I come against all evil heritage that's come down through the family line. I come again down against the spirit of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. Any type of sexual perversion that's unpleasing to God, I break its authority over these people in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come against the spirit of illegitimacy now. It would rob God's children of their mind in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of incest and illegitimacy in the name of Jesus Christ. I break those curses in the name of Jesus and I command them to leave God's people in the name of Jesus. Just leave now. All witchcraft in the name of Jesus. All spirits of control of witchcraft. All spirits of unforgiveness and bitterness, I bind the spirit of unforgiveness and bitterness in the name of Jesus and command it to leave now. Just leave in the name of Jesus. Come down through the family line. I break the curse of insanity in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the vagabond. I break the curse of the vagabond. Those who've returned evil for good. They can't hold a job. Can't hold a job. Can't stay in one place. Got the wanderlust in their feet. I bind the spirit of the vagabond. And I break its authority in their life in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All vagabond spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All vagabond in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the vagabond. All spirits of poverty. All spirits of poverty in the name of Jesus. All spirits of poverty that would rob God's people in the name of Jesus would put a hole in the bottom of their sack. All spirits of poverty, all spirits of the spendthrift in the name of Jesus, the spirits of the spendthrift, I bind you and command you to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirits of the spendthrift in the name of Jesus, be gone. I break the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. Poverty of soul, poverty of wealth, poverty of relationships in the name of Jesus. Poverty of relationships within the family. I break the authority of this demon. Poverty that would keep people from having relationships within their family, trusting close relationships would drive them up with poverty. Poverty of soul. I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave. All of you now, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill your people, Lord Jesus. Lord, I release the Spirit, Lord God. I release your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Fill them with the joy of the Lord. Fill them with the joy of the Lord. For you gave us beauty for ashes, Lord. You gave us the oil of joy for mourning, Lord God.
You gave us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, Lord. It might be a tree of righteousness. Fill your people now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill them full, Lord. Everybody hold up their hands now and let's praise Him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Touch your people, Lord. Touch your people now, Lord God. Touch them, Lord, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Touch them with wellness, Lord God. I speak wellness and wholeness now in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak wellness and wholeness in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against sciatica in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against the spirit of death. Death, I bind you. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Fill them full, Lord. Just fill them in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Let's all stand. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. At the cross, here I first saw the light, and the burden on my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Victory, victory, victory is mine. I feel it in my soul since Jesus made me whole. Victory, victory, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Victory, victory, victory is mine. I feel it in my soul since Jesus made me whole. Victory, victory, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.